Scripture says is the desire of the nations. And we go, Lord God, to loose those out of prisons, to loose the captives and the prisoners, to set them free so that they would know your love and they would become one with the desire of the nations. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful that we have the privilege of losing ourselves in the midst of you, of laying ourselves down. For Lord, there are not empty words when we say this is all about you, that we're willing to endure to the end. We're willing to endure anything that comes our way that could possibly stand in the way of the greatness and the glory of you. We say no to it, and we rise up with a spirit of thankfulness, a spirit of gratitude. For you hung on a tree and you bled for us, oh God. And you rose from the dead so we would be able to sing these songs. We will be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that there would be no barrier. For you crossed the barrier of time and space. You've broken the chains. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in you. We say thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We bless your name. We praise your name. We have nothing to be down about. Nothing. Nothing. No down days in Jesus Christ. Only eyes pointed and turned upward. Even in the midst of trying circumstances, our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you with gratitude. Gratitude and thanksgiving in our hearts. So grateful, Lord. So grateful for the privilege to walk in joy and peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow. As we end, as we approach very close the end of 2012, there's so much stirring up in all of our, so much to be thankful for, so much to be praising our Lord for. No matter what we see, no matter what's coming our way, no matter what we feel, it really pales in the light of our risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen to that? Is that true? Is it true? If it's so true, it'll resonate in our heart. And nothing will stop us. Nothing will keep us back. We will see the person in front of us. We will hear the cry of the hungry, the cry of the hurting, the cry of the lost. Nothing. It will not be about our agenda. It will not be about what we want. It'll be about the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of us have come into a new understanding of that just in the last week. And oh, it's just, there's no greater place to be than the place of humility, the place of going lower and saying, what was I thinking? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when the Spirit of God moves, there's never any condemnation. When the Spirit of God moves, there's no regret. When the Spirit of God moves, there may be conviction and a release of anything getting in the way, but the Lord says that it will draw us into a place of great humility and desire for people, their needs, their hurts, their wants, but first of all, the Lord. That's the nature of our God. That's the nature of fire. Thank you, Lord, for what you've accomplished in 2012. What an honor, what a privilege even to hold this microphone to say those words. And we pray, Lord, that the gratitude in our hearts would raise and rise right up into your throne. Right up to you, Lord. We're forever eternally grateful, Lord. Even with the limited vision that we have, Lord, we thank you that that vision is being expanded. That vision is being accelerated. That vision is being widened because that's your nature. That's who you are. You decide that for us. And we say yes and hold on because the Spirit and the bride say, come. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Papa. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. If you've had an awakening this week in the area of humility, deeper humility, and that your spirit is going, yeah, that's me, and you want to share that without every detail, of course, but if you want to share that in gratitude, you feel free to come on up and do that. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it's all about. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Oh, it's heavy up here. Just a couple times this week, the Lord just showed me in different areas where I was operating in my own agenda and, had my own agenda about things and we're going to do that and really hadn't allowed the Lord, to be the Lord, really allow God to be God. He's a big God and he's just, sees everything and I'm not God. And so just the Lord in his goodness and in his grace and mercy just allowed an opportunity for me to see that. And in that moment, I had to make a choice whether I was going to actually allow the Lord to show me that or if I was going to, turn away. And I allowed the Lord to show me that. And it was eye-opening and I repented and it was painful. It was painful. It hurt. But I just feel a greater intimacy with the Lord, and it's been really good. So I'm really, really thankful. And I've been crying out for months and months, like, Lord, show me where there's pride in my mindsets, and show me where there's pride. And you cry out for that. You cry out for humility, and then when it's actually happening, it hurts in the process, and you're like, wait a second, I'm. Do over, but it's actually really, really good, and just so thankful, and I really want to bring just the lost to Jesus, and even in worship today, I was just hearing the bride, and the Lord was speaking to me, was singing to me while we were singing that we are the bride, and we're going to go out to the world to help other brides to rise up, and I really want that, and I think that humility, when we're able to lay down those mindsets and stuff, then that lays like the foundation for God to be able to release that kind of authority and that type of privilege to us to really be able to steward people's lives and their salvation and just healing and deliverance and everything that the Lord has set for us to do in our lives and our calling. And that's really what I want, and it's my heart cry, and really at the end of the day, I mean, it's about Jesus, and it's about, we're just at the beginning of the story. Like, it's a love story, and we're at there's different parts of the story, Jesus dying on the cross and rising again, and we're in process now, and we're just at the beginning of the story, but it's the bigger picture. What it's all about is it's about Jesus, and it's about the bride and the bridegroom. And so I'm getting more and more, gotten so much more revelation this week about that just through the process. But so just really thankful.
Just this whole semester, and a few people are aware of this, it makes me want to cry just thinking about it. Because even in the light, our strength and what we can do pales in the light of who God is and what he's able to do. He's so faithful. And when you think about it, it's like, apart from you, I can do nothing. That scripture is so rung true in my heart this week, that apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. And if that isn't humbling, get on your face and realize that God is so good and that you can do nothing apart from him, absolutely nothing. And he is so good and gracious to give us grace to do everything, to stand here, to breathe, everything. And so just this week, just yesterday, even just mounted on top of God's awesomeness this entire semester in my college life, and just seeing God's faithfulness and even in my stupidity, watching His grace just cover everything, all of my human frailty, all of those things, it covers it. And it's so humbling to realize, God, You're so good. Your love is so amazing. And yesterday, I went up to Stowe, Ohio, to take part of a praxis exam that ultimately goes towards my licensure for teaching and everything, and just a small portion of all the other great tests that are coming. And so I wasn't completely confident going in, and just with the content that I was being tested on. And so I go in, and there's a minimum passing grade, and this is just one of the lower tests that I have to take. They're bigger whales and fish that I have to conquer, or whatever mountains I have to conquer. And so even just this one, I went in and I took the test, and there were so many things that were changed at the last minute. I didn't know, oh, it's only this long. It was supposed to be this long. And, oh, just in case I can't retake it, oh, my gosh, like all these things. And I'm like, I have to pass this today, Lord. I have to pass it today. And so I go in and I go through the whole thing. And I guessed on probably half the answers. Don't do this, people, study. But I guessed on half of them because I ran out of time. I wasn't prepared to answer that many questions with that little time. And I was so detailed in my answers. And so time was running out, and I went back and I don't know, and I clicked, and it to report the scores, you have to report the scores to university, to the institution that you attend. And so it came up, and I know it might not have been flying colors passing, but it was the minimum. It was exactly what I needed. It was exactly what I needed. And I'm telling you, it was a miracle. I know that we want excellent, and that's good, and I'm pushing for excellent in all areas, but just this alone, I walked out, and I'm like, God, I'll never forget this. I will never forget it, because I was totally banking on You. And He's like, sweetie, you've always got to bank on Me. You've always got to bank on Me. You can do nothing apart from Me. And so just learning that in this week of total humility, going into an advising appointment and somebody saying, no, this can't happen, and God shoop, turning it around. And even the little things that I didn't do right, He said, nope, this is going to happen. It's going to happen in this season, in this timing, and you're going to go through, and it's going to be a yes and amen. And I'm like, how did this happen? Because He's God, and He's so good. And it's very humbling just to see that, you know, when you say yes to Him, when you put it all in His hands, that He does it. He works. His goodness and His awesomeness far surpasses just anything that we can do, and that's so humbling. It's so humbling, and I want to learn it just more and more.
I just want to start off by saying that I love my mom a lot, and she's been through a lot of stuff. The Lord's just been dealing with her heart in a lot of areas, especially emotionally, and she's lost quite a few people in her life in the last 5 years. So yesterday she called me crying and wanted me to come over to her house, and she was just having a time of just feeling lonely, and she's been in some pain due to some issues with her legs and circulation and such. And so I went over to her house, and in the past it's been like, okay, this is my mom. I don't really know what to do. I don't really know how to help her. I don't really know. So I would sit and I would listen to her and I would pray for her. But in the past, she hasn't been receptive to my actual like prayers before. And and there's been several times where I've wanted to reach out and in that area, and she just hasn't accepted it. And so when I went to her house, I let her talk, and just I let her just vent. I let her just explain how she was feeling and everything. And in my heart, I was just like, Lord, I want to help. What can I do? I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't want to do. Give me wisdom. Give me guidance. I don't know what to do. And I heard Him say, pray for her. Like, pray for her. And in my heart, I was just like, but she's never been receptive to my prayers. I just feel like a wall is up. And in the past, that's what I felt like as far as with prayer. And so I continued to listen to her, and she had a couple of things that she wanted me to do around her house, and I helped her out a little bit. And then I came back in, and I heard it again, pray for her. okay. And so I said, Mom, I'm getting ready to leave, but I want to pray for you. And she said, okay. And so I went over and I laid my hand on her shoulder. And as soon as I laid my hand on her shoulder, my hand got hot. I just felt like this heat. And so I laid my hand on her chest. Oh, and my hand was really hot. And she said, your hand is hot. And she put her hand on top of my hand. And I just began to speak out in power and authority over her life to just break off things in her life that had been just going on for years and years and years. And just, oh, to let her know that God is there to comfort her, to give her strength, that she can rise up in the power of God, that he loves her so much. And I just continued to keep my hand there, and her hand was on top of mine. And for the first time, my mom said, while I was praying, she said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hey. Oh. Oh. And so I'm believing for even more, for increase for my mom. And she'll actually be here tomorrow night for the New Year's Eve celebration. So, hey.
Oh, boy. I've been having this problem with fear. Fear of the basement. Deanne's house. A lot of I know I've been terrified of that basement going down there. I'm terrified to walk up the stairs. When I turn the light off, I have to run. And I look back like, oh, is something behind me? And you know, I've had plenty of people, you know, Teresa, she told me, you know, just go down there and take authority. So I tried that, didn't work out. I ran like a chicken. I was like, I took all my stuff down, so it's like, no, this is my area. You know, nothing's gonna scare me out of it. But last night, I actually slept down there, but that's only because I had a sleeping buddy. And then today, when we were worshiping, God, it's so funny. I pictured him up here, like he was bigger than Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill standing in front of him. And he was so big, like almost the whole room. And he just like popped up and he was like, and he had on like this Superman suit, only it had a J on it, and he was like, no need to fear, Jesus is here. And I'm just like and it was just amazing. I was laughing, and then like he had his finger out and I was dancing, and he picked me up, and you know, I just wrapped my arms around him and I locked my fingers together, and I was like, Dad, you're so amazing, I love you. And he goes, I love you too. And it was just, I don't know, now I know I can, that's my basement.
Yes, Lord. A little humility growing here. I love it.
I recently finished taking prophetic boot camp this past Frontline Training Center session. And the one thing we talked about in it was prophetic poetry. And as soon as Patricia King said it on the DVD, I was just like, that, or the CD, I was like, that is awesome. And then when Mike Wheeler was the one who was facilitating the class, and when he stopped it, he was just like, I could see you doing that, Carly. And like, I already had the Lord already gave me the title of a poem. And then as soon as I got home that night, I just took out my notebook and ended up writing like my first prophetic poem. And it was really, really awesome. And I got to bless someone with it. And it was so good. And then this year, when I was getting ready to give Christmas gifts, the Lord put it on my heart to do prophetic poems for my roommates and for my family members. And, you know, my roommates, I knew they would all be super excited and blessed by it. But I really didn't know how my family was going to take it, because I was raised Catholic, and my family is, they were all Catholic. And my dad really isn't walking with the Lord at all, and my mom just goes to Catholic church, and then my sister goes to an Episcopalian church, but her husband, she met in Thailand when they were in the Peace Corps, and for a while when he was there, he was a Buddhist monk. And last year for Christmas, she got him a Buddha statue. And I was just, you know, I've been praying about that a lot, just because there was a conversation that I had with him where he was saying, like, well, when Chris loved Jesus, so he was raised in a Christian church and was really involved with his youth group and just really turned away from it completely. And so as I wrote out the poem that the Lord gave me specifically for them, even as I was packaging it up to send it, I had a lot of fear because I really wasn't sure how they were going to receive it. And I was just like, well, God, like, you gave this to me, and I believe that you're just going to take care of it. And, you know, even if they don't like it, maybe they, you know, can just put it in a side room or something. But I was believing that the Lord was really going to use it to speak to them. And so, you know, after they opened it up, we talked briefly on Christmas Day, and my sister was like, oh yeah, thanks, we really like the poem and whatever. And I was like, oh good. And that was all the feedback I got at that point. But then the next day I checked my email, and her husband wrote me this email that was like, I was so, so touched by your poem, and I know that God was using you to speak to me, and some of the things that you had in your poem specifically spoke to areas of my life that I know have been separating me from God. And since the last time you visited 6 months ago, there was an incident when I visited where he was just like, there was a lot of anger that rose up in him, not towards me or my sister, but towards a complete stranger. And he was like, since that moment, like that, after that moment, God started speaking to me. And I know that there have been things in my life that have been separating me from him. And your poem was such a blessing, and we're going to hang it in our house. And I know it'll inspire more reflection. I was so blown away by it. I was so, so blown away by it. I couldn't believe it. And it was really just, it took a lot of humility to even send it. Like, as I was doing them for my sister and for my mom and for my dad, I gave each of them a poem. And each time I was just like, I don't know what they're going to think about this. And I gave them each kind of a short explanation, like, well, you know, I know God can speak to us and he can use things like poetry. So I wrote you this poem, but God gave it to me and it's for you. And that was just, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And the reason she's crying is because the Holy Spirit's moving when you speak about him and his works and his kingdom beauty. There's a release, and we're very much alike that way. So I cry a lot, and the Holy Spirit just bubbles up, and I'm expressive that way. But I do want to give a little plug for the Lord. Not that he needs it, but the fact that Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. That's really important. Let me say it again. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So a little plug, better said, would be for Frontline Training Center with the School of the Prophetic, or the class on the prophetic boot camp that Mike was facilitating. You know, we love to listen to CDs and watch DVDs and all. That's all good stuff, too. But the reason that we have what we have is because we believe that we are filled with the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. So our facilitator was taking some words that were powerful, I'm sure, and saying, that's for you. And what he did, maybe unbeknownst to him that would go this far, what he did is he was moving in the vein of the prophetic realm, and he was releasing the freedom right into Carly, and that enabled her right then and there. And there was a change that took place, and she took a deeper step in her destiny. And I've been overseas with her, and I know she's very prophetic, and she has spoken prophetic things before. This wasn't the first time. But because of that release from the Lord through Mike into Carly, and Carly receiving that, there was an upgrade for her. And then she had a choice. She made the choice, as she said, to go lower, which is relate to my family. How many of us know that's probably the hardest thing to do? You can talk to somebody down the street, whether you see them again or I don't know, but your family who really know you. Even Jesus had interesting times. So it's not that simple, but yet is doable when we take the road of humility, when we decide to say, you know what, Lord, it really doesn't matter, because when I say it's all about you, it really is all about you. And I mean that. So here we go. And I, you know, just to hear that testimony blesses me so much. And I'm sure many of you are thinking of some things that probably happened over the holidays. Like, yeah, I tried that. Or I want to and I will. But I do want to thank you all for the prophetic words that you wrote, that you took the time. You took the invite. You responded to the invitation. You took the time to take a piece of paper and write out what you believe the Lord would be saying to release to someone, basically saying, you can do this. That was really the assignment, if you will. That was the prophetic invitation. This is how good God is, and he loves you. You can do this. Go ahead, you can do this. And you did that, and we're so grateful. I had just the joy of reading the ones in here. And wow, if there's anyone who received just an absolute prophetic word that just spoke to them immediately, and you just knew, God, that was for me, intentionally for me, because there was no numbering or anything. We just randomly passed them out and said, okay, Lord, you do it. And they were all different. If there's anybody who felt that and you want to share that briefly, you don't have to share necessarily the content, or just share that, wow, that so triggered something in my heart. And we had enough for everybody, and we had a good chunk of people here. It was wonderful. So if that's you, if you wanted to give glory to the Lord that you received a blessing from him, then just come up and grab the mic real quickly, because if not, we're transitioning here into the next. You can remember back to the 23rd. Yes, I did receive that. But if that's you, it's good to be able to testify. You can just come up and say, yes, I got that from the Lord. And if not, you can think about it. But I just want to say that as we step into 2013, tomorrow come to, is that tomorrow? I guess it is, to the celebration. There'll be so many things going on here, but our intent is, Lord, we want you to be glorified. Oh, wow, we can't wait. I'm so excited about it, probably more so than in other years. And I don't know exactly why, so there must be something really good coming. Really, really good. So we love to worship our Lord in different ways and see him just raised up, holy standard. So I encourage you from this point forward to take who you are, the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, and dump it wherever you are. Speak life. Put that pat on your hand on somebody's back and say, Jesus loves you. Let me pray for you. Oh, you fell? You immediately say, can I touch you and pray for you? Just don't even hesitate. That's the testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. And that releases his power, his glory, his goodness, his healing, his deliverance, and his encouragement. Isn't that wonderful? So if you have a family member that you're standing for right now in any way, shape, or form, just to increase on whatever level, just put your hand in the air. We're just going to agree together. Father, we just thank you right now for what you've been doing in 2012. In those family members, or that family member that is being highlighted to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're continuing the process and you're blowing on them right now with your kingdom love and blessing and freedom message to their hearts, and that they're being increased, they're receiving an upgrade right now, whether it's for healing, deliverance, knowledge of you, just an increase in love coming from heaven to earth, whatever it would be, all of it comes from your hand. So we thank you right now for this divine increase as this is released right here at Frontline Worship Center. It is going out into the highways and byways, across any kind of barriers. There will be no barriers, family barriers, denominational barriers, physical barriers, regional barriers, from here to the nations. So we thank you, Lord, that you stop and you touch our family members. And thank you, Lord, that we can believe for that. Thank you for that in advance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Pastor Bill has a message for us.
I already know one of my presents that I will receive for Christmas in 2013. Richard told me that he's going to buy me a rocking chair. Name on it. It's pretty good. You already know a year ahead of time. Thank you, Richard. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you also have gifts for us in 2013. You have an increase and ready in 2013. You have clear microphones without static in 2013. I just know it. We bless your name, Lord. You're so good. You're such a giver. We just honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for everything that was shared. It just fit into everything you put on my heart. I love that. I love that kind of matching up. I bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, at the beginning of 2012, there were a lot of prophecies about 2012 being a year of increase. If you missed out on that train, it's still available. You can start in 2013. Or you have, you know, so many hours left in 2012 to redeem the time and make up the difference. He doesn't need a whole year to bless your socks off. He can do it in just a few minutes. But they declared it was the year of increase. At the end of 2012, you should be saying yes and amen. I've had increase here. I've had increase there. This has happened. That has happened. You notice that in 2012, even in this room, the environment has changed. I think it's a picture of what was supposed to happen in our lives. We were supposed to get a sprucing up. We were supposed to have more light. We were supposed to have, you know, more carpet of the kingdom to walk on. We were supposed to have more seating in the throne room. Comfortable seating without dust flying up every time you set your booty on it. The old has gone, the new has come. And, you know, I'm not as excited about the changes on the inside of the building as I am on the changes that I'm hearing reported on the inside of people's hearts. Why get excited about carpet when there's heart change happening? Again, if you're not on that train, you can still jump on. You don't want to end up at the end of 2012 and begin complaining to God about everything that didn't happen, right? Because that sounds familiar. Children in the desert, grumbling, complaining, going in circles, 40 years, 40 years. Did I say 40 years? We don't want to get on that train. It goes in a circular track. You want to get on some of those trains that my grandchildren have. They do loops. They jump. I'm afraid to even... They had me hang on to something that was supposed to be put on the wall. They just wanted to try it out. So I was hanging on to both sides of this thing. The car comes flying out of one place, through the air, into the chute of another place, and went on the track. And I thought, whoa, this is... No wonder this is on the wall. That's the kind of ride you want to have in the spirit. You don't want to go around in the circle. The kids get pretty bored with that. They don't make those anymore, I don't think. That was my generation. We'd sit there for hours. Wow, this is better than the black and white TV. I love my parents. Both of them have passed away, but both of them passed away after receiving Jesus. So I love it when we declare for our families, because I believe it's under the household and it happens. And God gets excited about it when we get excited about it. And if we think there are too many barriers, too many hurdles for our family members to come to Christ, No. My parents, both in their later years, received Jesus and they prayed right out to receive him. None of this. They really made a declaration that they wanted Jesus. So I believe under the household. I was the pioneer in my family, the first Christian in northern Michigan. It's dead spiritually up there, I'll tell you. And yet, he brought life to my sister, my mom, my dad, and I still have a brother that I'm contending for. And at my sister's funeral, he told me he loved me. That's a big step. Especially since he was my younger brother, and I used him as a punching bag most of his youth. still was able to say he loved me. That's pretty good. I haven't even hardly started on his road of salvation yet. And he's already saying he loves me. That's a good start. But you don't want to get to the end of 2012 and ready to enter into the new promised land of 2013 and be complaining about what God didn't do, what God hasn't done, what God hasn't been to you. Because that's what the children of Israel did. So you want to find things to report, like we did this morning. What is he doing? You notice that these reports were fresh. They were new. You have some new reports from 2013. And you know what you can do to bless the Lord? You know, we worship him, and man, the worship was great today, wasn't it? I shouldn't say that because then they'll think it isn't great other times. I think it's great all the time. But I thought it was especially energizing today for the end of the year. You know, you can either go out with a whimper or you can go out with a wah. I prefer the wah. Go out with a wah. God is so good. He's been so good to us. And so that was reported. That was in my notes. That at the end of 2012, we should be reporting all the things that God has done. One of the things that I would report is, over this year, there have been several times that people have given me a prophetic word, and it had to do with when you speak to individuals in particular, but I'll take it for groups as well, you will speak life into people, and something will change inside of them. And I received that several times over 2012. And I've had that quite a few times since I've been a Christian in the prophetic area of life, the spiritual life. Had that told to me many times. Do you know how encouraging that is? That when I goof around and I tell jokes and I'm, you know, just being me, and I speak something and somebody goes, oh, man, that hit my heart. I was just having a good time. And it hit your heart? Wow, this is awesome. God must make up all the difference, as we shared this morning. When we're at our weakest, he comes in and just dumps the goody truck on us. You have to believe in a God like that to get anywhere. I'm telling you. You go the other way, well, you know, I'm not sure he cares about me. I'm not sure that he cares about my circumstances, my situation. You become the children of Israel. You're in a desert. You're being given trainloads of food every day. They estimated how much food they got every day. It was trainloads. There were millions of people out in the desert. And food is dropping from the sky. Birds are flying in and going, I'm dying right here. What does a bird, you know, say to himself? I'm going to die right here, right now. Sacrifice myself so they can have meat. The birds at my house, I get my camera out just to take a picture of one off the back porch in the beautiful snow. And I just get it just set. And get it. You know, they fly off before I get the good pictures. But these birds volunteered and flew in and dropped in front of the children of Israel. And they're complaining. This man is getting old. Yeah, it's only from heaven. The tastiest bread ever brought to earth. And yet they were complaining about it. So we don't want to get into that. I don't want to even have a message about that because I didn't hear that this morning. If I did, I would have stomped out here and corrected it right away. But we don't do that, do we? We don't want to do that, do we? No one comes up in here and says, you know, God's not doing anything for me. I just thought I'd come up and tell you. Praise God, I love him, but he hasn't fulfilled my wishes this year. I didn't even get what I wanted for Christmas. I asked for an iPad and I got an iSock. I'm still looking for the other one. So it's kind of like this. If you'll visualize with me, you know I love pictures. pictures or say more than 1,000 words. So this should be a short message, right? It's kind of like this. Visualize it in your heart's eye. Visualize it with your full imagination. Don't be afraid. God gave you an imagination. You can let it run wild at this moment. You're in a castle. Every room is a treasury. Every room holds different parts of the treasure that God wants to give you. So during this year, some of you walked in the hallway. Boy, I'm glad I'm in the castle. Some pretty pictures on these walls. Yeah, this is great. And right on all the doors, as you're passing them, it says, treasure for you. Blessing for you. Favor for you. This is to be used for the kingdom. Open the door. Open the door. Come on in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Big welcome mat out in front of each doorway. And you're walking in the hall. Boy, sure glad I came into the castle. Glad to be here. Yeah, God's pretty good. I don't quite understand what all these doors are, but the decorations are nice. Yeah, I kind of like being around the people that came in with me, but I don't know where they went. Where'd they go? Many of us have been in the hallway all year. You haven't experienced all that God has for you. I'm here to change that. I want this next year for you to open up some of those doors. To trust that God wants you to be blessed, favored. He wants you to experience him in new ways. There is no cap. There is no limit. There is no ceiling to what God has for you in the Spirit. So I was thinking of the verse, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, daughters included. And most people I know that I've heard that verse from, preach it, share it, talk about it, they always talk about those that are led by the Spirit of God. Come on, got to be led by the Spirit of God. Let's go, get going, get led by the Spirit of God. What's going on? Jesus was led by the Spirit of God. In fact, in some of the verses it says Jesus was led around by the Spirit of God. Took him right by the hand. Go over here. Go over here. Jesus. Whoa. Think how humble he was. To humble himself as a man. To be led around by the Spirit of God. And he's God. In the flesh. But limited himself in certain ways. So he could be led around by the Spirit of God to show us exactly how it's done. Wow. But the second part of the verse says, sons of God. Shows that we're sons of God when we're led around by the Spirit of God. And I think we haven't even explored a little bit about what that's all about, being sons and daughters as we're led around by the Spirit of God. It takes an expectation that God really cares about you and he wants to show you such new things that will blow your box. And when you share those up here, people cry, as they did today. People are changed, as they were today. People are encouraged. People are exhorted. People are challenged from your testimony, not from the guy with the suit on. See, I would rather have you forget about everything I say and listen to what these people said, because they didn't just study the Word of God to show themselves approved. They were workmen. That was the thing that I was thinking about today, yesterday. I always, you know, back with in the Navigator days, they always said, study to show yourself approved. Like we were supposed to be good students. Yes, learners, yes. Learn the word, yes. But it doesn't say so that you can show yourself to be good students, so you can show yourself to be good teachers even. It says, so you'll be workmen. We're supposed to live these things out, not just study them until we understand them. Let me give you a little tip. You're not going to understand. You're not going to understand it. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. The ways of the Lord are way over our head. So we study him. We study the scriptures to get him, to see what he's like. Because then you can be led around by a person, not some kind of doctrine. Not some kind of doctrine. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll be better off than if you studied the Bible from now till the day you die without the Spirit of God entirely. If you live it out, you'd be a lot better off. Because you're going to get frustrated when you get into the Word of God and realize you're not doing it all. I want you to get into the Word of God and see that you're doing some of it and be encouraged that you can do all of it. So when they shared up here, they were workmen. They've been out there fighting the battles. The world has a system. It thinks that if you get more education, the better off you'll be. You get your mind really big, and you're going to be a better person. Wrong answer. It's not that you shouldn't have education. I'm a pretty well-educated guy myself. In fact, they used to come to me when I was teaching, and they'd say, how come you don't go for your master's? I said, I'm traveling all over the world. What do you mean? So I'm going on mission trips. You know that. Yeah, I know that. I said, I'm learning more on those mission trips than I'm learning that, you know, teacher's master training. Because the teachers on my staff that were masters were coming to me asking me how to do fifth grade math. Yeah, masters. They've got the master's degree. Mr. Koki, could I see you for a minute? Well, my class is, you know, hanging on the chandeliers. I know, but I don't know how to do this. Now, it's not that I'm a especially smart guy, but I paid attention in fifth grade. They paid attention to their master's program because you get paid more. So you get paid more. I'll answer your questions, and I'll travel the world for Jesus. Who's better off? Me. Me. And did I get that because I'm so smart? No. I had to say, God, I can't preach. I can't do this. Yeah? You willing? Yeah. Well, let's go. I open my mouth. Suddenly, I can preach. People are coming to Jesus. Open my mouth, people are healed. Now people are telling me when you just speak something to someone, they get life. Whoa. This is fun. So if you're in the children of Israel going around the circle, I'm just here to tell you there's more fun out there. A whale of a lot more fun that can be on your plate. So you can have a banquet, feasting, sometimes fasting, but feasting in this case, feasting in this case. I promised myself I would get to the Word of God this time rather than just talk about the Scriptures, so I'm going to do it. Let's go to Romans 8:12. I'll read while you get there. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Okay, when you hear in the Bible flesh, I want you to think natural, regular. Okay? Don't think flesh. It's a bit confusing. Think natural, the way it's normally done, what any person without God would do. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, not to the natural, not to what everybody else would do, to live according to what everybody else would do, the natural. For if you are living according to the natural, what everybody else would do, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Dead? Alive. I choose alive. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. So there's this treasury in heaven. If you know Jesus, you're going to get there. I'm talking about in 2013, I want you to go down the hallway, see the doors, and go in each one of them. Experience some of your inheritance. Don't just know about Jesus and come here, you know, on a Sunday morning and think, oh, well, that's good enough. That'll do. It's supposed to affect you all through the week. You're supposed to be going into the doors, finding out what God has for you, what he wants for you. Encounters with him. Pictures, dreams, visions, actual contact with God. The kingdom of God is within you. You're thinking he's out there somewhere, and he's in you. The king is in you. He's much closer than what you think. And he wants such close fellowship with you. He wants to take you on a tour, be led by the Spirit of God into these treasury rooms to pull out the things to use in order to win others to him. You've been blessed with things. Things are tools. You can enjoy them, but don't make them an idol. Use them for the kingdom. Use your place where you live for the kingdom. Think of who should come into your home and enter into your atmosphere that the Holy Spirit has created there where you live. If it's not an atmosphere of peace, you need to get some people of peace to come in there and make it an atmosphere of peace. If you come here and you say, wow, I just feel like I could just fall asleep in this place. I just feel at such peace. That's a really good thing. You know what's one better than that? Because you're only here for, well, I was going to say 2 hours. You're only here for 5 hours every Sunday. And, you know, 3 or 4 on Tuesday night. So you're only here about 9 or 10 hours a week. It didn't make my point as well as I thought it would, but anyway, at your house, you're there more hours than you are here. That's a for sure. And so you want that place to be an atmosphere of peace. If it's not, something's wrong. You haven't been opening the doors. Hey, you haven't been opening the doors. It's not like, you know, come over to our house and, oh yeah, that's the only place of peace. Uh-uh. Your place is supposed to be complete peace. When people walk in, they go, ooh, something's different here. They just sense it in the spirit. Look for them to say stuff like that. That's an encouragement to you. If they walk in and they go, ooh, I feel demons, then, you know, it's time to get some people over there and get some good fellowship going or something. Pray over your portals or whatever. Something. Some come here and they say, that, like I said, I could sleep here. I just feel such peace, such rest. And they do. Right during my messages. But I don't mind. Because if they feel that kind of peace that the Spirit of God is in here, you all have created that. I can't create that. We all together have to. The body has to receive that kind of peace into a place. That kind of joy into a place. Real joy, not fake joy. I don't know if you know, but I have real joy. Some days I have my challenges, but a lot of times I have so much joy, it drives Pastor Mary Pat crazy. Because my joy comes out in jokes and little things I say and little things I do. And if you knew some of the things I do, you'd know why I drive her crazy at times. She used to drive me crazy with her joy when I first met her because I thought I was a radical Christian. Then I met her, and she was on a whole different level. She was out there somewhere. I was like, who could be that happy all the time? And she used to get in trouble places she would go. They were mad at her because she was too happy. Imagine it. You know, those guys that do the little ding-ding bells out in front of all the stores, you know? Imagine if all those people were grumpy. We don't want that. We want them smiling. Ding, 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 ding. Merry Christmas. Ding, 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 ding. That's the picture you should have of Pastor Mary Pat. Ding, 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 ding. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Every day's Christmas. Ding, 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 ding. And that drives people crazy. They don't like the ding, ding, ding. At times. Because the joy of the Lord is a weapon, I'm telling you. You either enter into it and enjoy it, or it bugs the tar out of you. It gets in there, and you're like, these people are too happy. I know the real story. They have their moments. They have their hours. I bet they have their whole days where they're not that happy. But those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If you're dancing around like a son and not some kind of slave, you can be legitimately joyful. That's what he's talking about. I don't want to just lead you around and you go, oh, I don't want to go there, but I'll go. And the Spirit of God's going, it's better just to, you know, take the ride inside this person. I'll just go where they go. Oh, I wish you wouldn't go there. I wish you wouldn't go there, but you are. Okay, I'm with you. This is the Holy Spirit. I'm going with you. Okay, I don't really like what you're doing right now, but I'm with you. Ooh, that's a bad attitude. Ooh, can we help? Can I help with that? I could really help with that if you're open, if you're open, if you're open. Ooh, that's a bad word. Ooh, where'd you learn that one? Woo! That kind of offends me, but I'm Holy Spirit, and I'm with you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Are you listening? Are you listening? I love you. And we're carrying around the Spirit of God, and he's trying to get through to us. He loves us so much. He puts up with a lot of stuff. But when we're led by the Spirit of God, we let him lead us. It's like tiptoe through the tulips, you know? We're happy. He's happy. We might do something screwy. He goes, oh, forget about that. Jesus covered it. He's enjoying the ride. We're not grieving the Spirit of God. I'm happier when I'm led by the Spirit and I let him lead. And I'm not fighting him the whole way. Resisting the Spirit of God. So it's no wonder that we don't see the doors when we're walking in the hallway. Because we've been resisting the one that says, why don't you open the door? Why don't you see what God has for you? It's so much more than this. If you think this is all there is, much more. And this is a whole new year to let it fly. Rise or fall. You're not going to stay the same. You didn't in 2012. You either let the Spirit of God take you up, and you have many testimonies about that. Now we're talking in general. You know, you had your little blips, but I'm talking in general. Going up. Okay? Or you went down. There was nobody that stayed the same. Doesn't work that way. Oh, I kind of feel like I was the same. Ooh. Not good. Don't say that. Think of something that you were rising up in the Spirit of God. Okay, please. Because you'll feel better about it. Because if there's no staying the same and you feel the same, that means you know what I'm talking about. But you want this, not this. So how do you get there? Did you listen to these people that were sharing? I listened, Carly. I listened. What they said was, I couldn't do it. I was too weak. I went in and this test was right in front of my face and I didn't know the answer, so I guessed. And then they say, and don't do that. I wrote this thing and then my family, you know, I didn't think they'd, you know, they'd, well, I don't know what they were going to, anyway, you know, weak, feel weak, I felt weak. And what happened? He comes in. He meets the need. If she hadn't passed the test, he would have met the need. But she's so blessed that she gets to pass that first test of many tests. What a lesson for life. It's the way life is. One test at a time. Some you fail, but you get to take it over and over and over until you get it. So listen to me. Open the doors this year. Blow off the doors. Quit trying to live your own life in the natural way. Well, let's see. My mind says I should do this. You know what I would do with that? Run. Run. When your mind's going, this is the best thing you can do right now, I would run from that very quickly. Like an Olympic runner. But when your spirit rises up, what do you think, Holy Spirit of God? What I think you should do is repent. Oh, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Okay, this is the fifth time today. And I'm doing this willingly. But that is what gets you there. Then you're walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. When you're being led by the Spirit, you're being led, but then you can walk. You can actually walk in Him. Led by, walk in Him. Galatians 5, 16. Don't fail me, iPad. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You will not carry out the desire of the natural. You will not carry out the desire of regular old thinking, the regular way of doing things. For the flesh, the regular old way of doing things, the natural way, sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the natural old way of doing anything. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Oh, I just want to be humble before God. I know the Bible says to forgive. I'll think about that for about 10 years. Because I want to be humble and make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do. Well, He wants you to forgive. Well, I'll just wait a little while on that. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not standing around trying to do a list. Much of the body of Christ is doing a list this morning. And they missed the really fun thing of being led by the Spirit of God. I want to tell them, any chance I get, this is more fun. You can meet the list by having fun, by following the Holy Spirit, without looking at the list and pointing fingers at everybody. I'm doing better on the list than you're doing on the list. In fact, my list is better than your list. My list is longer than your list. I've covered more on my list than your list. So, I must be a better Christian. Got a better list. It's not about a list. It's about following the Spirit of God. And you actually have to ask questions of Him. Talk to Him while you're making a decision. Not afterwards. So how was that, God, that I decided to hit that guy upside the head with a telephone pole? Is there anything you want to correct in me at this time? That's a little late. You want that before. You want to be led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit before you get to that point. And He can do it. To do it, and before long you'll enjoy that path much better, because you'll be able to speak life into people. You'll be ministering to people right and left. You'll get this sudden desire to pray over somebody that has never wanted to receive prayer, and they receive it. Hoo-hoo! You are speaking life. You will humble yourself when it defeats your agenda. And you'll smile afterwards. You'll be in joy afterwards. Wow. You have higher ways. You have better ways. You know your agenda's better. And I'm in it. I didn't do mine. I'm doing yours. I'm not grieving you. I'm not resisting you. I'm walking in you. You know there's no greater joy? Some have popped the pills. Some have drunk the pint. Some have tried the sexual experiments. And they come here broken. And we've got a better high than any of those. All of us, we can pass out a better high. And it lasts for eternity. And you can bug people with how joyful you are. It's really fun. Outdo the guy in front of the store with a little dinging bell. Merry Christmas to you, mister! Time to dance! Jesus has come to the world to save mankind! Give me that bell! Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling! Come on, you can have a lot of fun. Now the deeds of the flesh, the natural, the regular old life, are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissent. I don't want any testimonies right now, okay? Factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. The list never ends, in other words. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There is no limit. There is nothing that can stop it once it starts. It's like a snowball going down a hill. It gets bigger, 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 and takes out your neighbor's car. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the regular old way of living, the natural way of thinking. They've crucified that. They've died to it with its passions and its desires. I'd like to get a Maserati just for myself so I could drive it around town. Well, maybe Italy. I'll drive it in Italy with a little special Italian hat on. And I will cure my middle age itch. Or you can get a car and drive people to eat dinner with them and share the rooms of treasure that you have access to. And then they can have access to it. And you can see them turn from darkness to light. You can see their life become a light for Jesus. Wow. That breeze going through my hair in Italy is not going to match with that. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Even if we live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit, we shouldn't go around saying, "So, I know everything now. I'm an expert." I think I've gone on record here many times telling you, I don't know what I'm doing. And I say it with a certain amount of vigor. I have no idea what I'm doing. And it's the funnest ride because he does so many cool things right in front of me when I'm at a loss as to what advice to give. People come up to me and prophesy over me and say, "You're going to give out life." And I'm saying, "That should be interesting. That'll be fun to watch because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know what I'm saying most of the time. I'm afraid to listen to my messages." And yet they're able to say that life will flow out of me. And you have had interesting prophecies as well, getting one hopefully last week if you were here. The person that received my prophecy, because we did sign them, I got a great big bear hug. Then I got another bear hug. That's not so bad. You know, good solid bear hug between friends, it's a good thing to get. And I scrawled it out just before church, saying, "God, help me. Give something that will give out this life that everybody says that I'm going to give out. In my weakness, I'm scrawling this out. You turn it into life." And as I wrote, I was getting life from it. What I wrote. How about you? When you wrote yours, was it an assignment or was it life? See, I take what I write and it comes and splashes back on me because I know the author. It's not me. If it's really from God, if it's really prophecy, it should speak to me. I was challenged. And then I get a bear hug for being challenged. It's awesome. So we are led by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We want to risk. If you want to see the doors, what's behind the doors? Door number 1, 2, 3. You know, they only had 3 doors on that game. I don't know what it was. Anybody know what it was? What was that? Let's Make a Deal, Price is Right? I don't know. That was Let's Make a Deal, wasn't it? Price is Right. Never watched that. I couldn't figure out those prices. Didn't like the guy either. Okay, so I like him now, though. Because some of you apparently like him. Bob Barker, right? No? Wasn't that the Price is Right, Bob Barker? I'm talking about Bob Barker. Okay. It's okay. Don't get upset about it. I'll work on it. Apparently it's an issue in my life. Anyway, you're going to be able to go and open the doors if you take some risk in the Spirit. Let me tell you what risk looks like. When the Spirit of God tells you to do something and it sounds completely wacky, it sounds like this is nuts. If you were really the Spirit of God, you would do something that would satisfy my mind. That is natural thinking. That is the flesh. That's the regular. Your mind says, no, 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 I won't do that because if I write that poem, you know, I kind of know what could happen in my family. If I give out the gospel to my dad, I know what he would do. No, you don't. I'm telling you, no, you don't. Why don't you? Because you've never seen your dad affected by the anointing of the Spirit of God. You've never seen your dad affected by the life that you give out of your mouth. You are naturally thinking. You are naturally limiting what the Spirit of God can do. Let me give you an example. Not too long ago, the Spirit of God told me while I was praying over Mary Pat, and you know, one of the things that you report, I said, and you remember what happened in 2012, one of the things I would report is, I'm more in love with Jesus, and I'm more in love with Mary Pat. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Anyway, I just paused there for a moment. Anyway, he told me, when I pray over her, to pray into her. There's something different about that. You know, I can pray over a person, or in our case, because we're husband and wife, I can get kind of close. And I can pray into her, like the breath of God. Now, that sounded wacky. I'd never done that quite like that before. I'd prayed over her, touched her head, taken her shoulders, put my hand on her back, but to get close to her and pray into her, it sounded wacky. Doesn't it? Yeah, it does, a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. In fact, when I told the men's group at the, there were a few guys that said a few things. Okay. But fortunately, that's the men's group. I can whip them into shape at any time. Because we're going to have more breakfasts. And maybe I won't give them pancakes this time. They're going to make fun of me. But anyway, so I speaking life literally inches from her belly. And I'm telling you, something amazing happened in some of those times. For one thing, it encouraged the life out of her that I would risk doing something like that for her benefit. I mean, it looks strange. It feels strange. It probably felt strange to her. She was kind of like, what's this about? You know, at first. But it's Pastor Mary Pat, so if it gets weird, she just goes, oh, well, I'll go with it. So, you know, in doing that, there were certain things that happened inside of her spirit. I even recognized some of them better than she did. Because the Spirit of God was telling me, this is going deeper than what you could ever imagine. This is doing more in her than what you could ever imagine. I'm telling you, there are risks in the Spirit that he wants to take you to. Things that are out of your ordinary, out of your box. Not just God being out of the box. That's a good thing to realize. You being out of the box. Being led by the Spirit of God. Praying for somebody that you just don't think there would be any result if you did that. Blessing them with a word that God gives you to give them, and you just don't think they're going to respond to that in the right way. You need to expect that under the anointing of God, you are giving out life, and that anointing will splash on them and open up their heart, that they'll not just maybe want to walk down the hallway on a tour group because they're not even in the kingdom yet, maybe. But they'll want to be in the castle, open up the doors, and find out what God is all about. You know, there have been people that have done that, and they've excelled in the Spirit, accelerated in the Spirit, and started sharing some things that were way beyond their years in the Spirit because they were so willing to take a risk. So willing to take a risk in the Spirit. So be led by the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit of God, and then start taking some of these risks. They aren't just your mind coming up with a goofy suggestion. You can check it if you like. Is this really you, Holy Spirit? You really want me to do this? And don't expect that every one of them turn out really good. They won't. You might be the first seed that tries to break through a very hard ground, and it doesn't go completely in, and they go, kick, they kick it out. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, because the next seed's going to come along, and it's going to actually go in and stick, and it's going to be watered. Sometimes you plant, sometimes you water, sometimes you throw seed out, and nothing happens. But you're still part of God's process. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you, Lord. You're so good to your people. We celebrate at the end of 2012 here, God, all that you've done in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the life that comes out of us to other people. As we speak it into them, as we pray it into them, as we're just changing the atmosphere as we move into a room, if we're very close to you. Give us the heart to not be a drag on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Give us the heart to walk in the Spirit and take risks in the Spirit, so all the doors and the treasury will be open to us. All the treasury doors of the castle will be at our disposal, and we'll see what life is really all about. It's not about the natural. It's about the spiritual. It's about the supernatural. Thank you, God, you can input that into our lives even more than ever. Deepen it in us. Give us that adventurous heart to follow your Spirit and risk things in the Spirit. Father, I am so excited about some of the risks you led me to this year. And wow, some of the results. Incredible. I pray that each person here, in your personal way of working with them, will be able to have that same kind of experience, that same kind of joy. I, for one, thank you, God, that so many are on the increase. For those that haven't even started yet, or they're on the decrease, Father, we're asking you to turn it around. Convince them by the power of your Holy Spirit. There's a better way. There's a better life. There's joy that you've not experienced. There are encounters with Holy Spirit that you just can't imagine. Pictures that you have not seen yet. Visions you have yet to see yet. They're out there for you. Dreams. Life-changing dreams. And dreams of peace. Dispelling the other kind of dreams that torment. Thank you, God. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. We remember your goodness. We report on your goodness. We revel in your goodness. We thank you for the revelation of your goodness. And Father, we repent where we've not celebrated, where we've not been excited about the future, where we've not seen your hand in so many ways in our life. We repent. We repent. We repent. We repent. We get refreshed for a whole new rockin' start at it, Lord, in 2013. We repent of any grumbling, any complaining, anything where we thought you didn't love us or accept us, any thought that we are worthless to the kingdom, any thought that is negative, we repent. And we say we receive more of Holy Spirit and what he has for us. We bless each person with that. We bless each person with that. I'd like to end with this. It's a decree from 2012, the beginning, from Patricia King. Listen to some of these things. They were decreed over the body of Christ, and individuals decreed them over themselves in 2012. You can take this and then take whatever decrees come for 2013 and have a double decree, a double blessing. Here they come. I decree that in 2012, I will increase in my love for God, for myself, and for others. If you agree, say amen. I decree in 2012, I will increase in perfect peace, wholeness, and soundness in my heart and mind in all my ways and in every situation. That was a little weak. Okay, we're taking these for 2013, so I'll say 2013. I decree that in 2013, I will increase in wisdom from above because I love wisdom and ask for wisdom. Yes. I decree that in 2013, I will increase in the grace of God that enables me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yes. I decree that in 2013, I will increase in the strength of the Lord as I wait on him. I decree that in 2013, I will increase in divine health and healing. Amen. I decree that in 2012, at the beginning, if you remember, we had a slew of sickness, but we battled through it. And many standing here are in much better health than they were at the beginning of 2012. We haven't gotten to 13 yet. I decree. That in 2013, I will increase in abundance and prosperity. All my needs will be met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thought I'd get a good one on that one. I decree that in 2013, I will receive increased revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his kingdom, and his righteousness. I decree that in 2013, I will receive increased manifestation of miracle-working power. I decree in 2013, I will receive increased answers to prayer as I pray according to God's will. I declare that in 2013, I will increase in the purity of my heart, its motives, its passions. As a result, I will perceive God in new realms and dimensions and new doors. Yes, Lord. May it be so in Jesus' name.